Добрый день. 30 июня. Это программа ТЧК на платформе РусЛСМ. Вы можете видеть наш эфир также на наших страничках в Фейсбуке и в Ютубе. Обязательно подписывайтесь, делитесь этим видео и ставьте лайки, те, кто нас смотрит в интернете. У нас сегодня в гостях посол США в Латвии Кристофер Робинсон. Спасибо, что нашли время и пришли.
Thank you.
Господин Робинсон, вы уже почти как полгода работаете в Латвии. Где за это время успели побывать? Какой город вам понравился больше всего? Что успели посмотреть?
Well, thank you so much. First of all, it's a great honor to be on your program. And I love the work that RusLSM does. So thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. And I will say, yes, it's been almost half a year. And it's the time has gone very quickly. And it's a great honor to be in Latvia, to represent the United States. Latvia is more than just an ally. It is a strategic partner and friend. And my family and I have had a wonderful opportunity to visit around the country. I have been from Liepāja to Daugavpils, Valmiera, Cēsis, to see the lilacs in Dobele. And so we've just had a great time visiting the country. I've been able to meet government officials, municipal officials, teachers, librarians, students, a great range of the people of Latvia. And it's just been a wonderful opportunity. We have so many values in common. We have a shared vision for the future. And I think that's what makes it such a pleasure and an honor to be ambassador here at this time with so many challenges. To be with a friend, ally, and partner is such an honor and privilege.
Но вот обычно посол работает 4 года. Отношения сейчас между Латвией и США вы уже, ну так, обозначили. А какими вы видите отношения Латвии и США через 4 года?
So, it's a great question. You know, last year we celebrated 100 years of diplomatic relations between the United States and Latvia. And those 100 years saw many great opportunities and many terrible tragedies. And so I view my responsibility here and my job is to look at how do we build the foundations for the next 100 years, not just the next 4 years, but to think even longer. How do we build a future for a U.S.-Latvia relationship that's strong, that delivers security and prosperity for both of our peoples? And how do we build that for the future? Obviously, the war in Ukraine shapes everything that we think about for the future. But I look at that this work in three main areas. First, it's the security partnership. Above all, the NATO alliance. As President Biden has said, we will defend every inch of NATO territory. And we've done exercises. We have the U.S. military presence here in Latvia that we are committed to maintaining a continual rotational presence in Latvia. But it's more than just the U.S. presence. It's working in partnership with Latvia to build Latvia's capabilities for the future, new weapon systems, training and exercises, so that Latvia is an even stronger contributor to that alliance as it already is. Second is to look at the economic field of cooperation. If anything, COVID and the war in Ukraine has taught us how vulnerable our economies can be, and that economics is also a national security issue. How do we create space for more trade and investment between U.S. and Latvia? How do we provide for energy security for the future? Latvia has been a leader on this in cutting off energy supplies from Russia and helping lead Europe to make very smart decisions. How do we move forward into the green energy transition together as partners and find new opportunities and build a more stable, stronger, more secure economy that delivers prosperity for the Latvian people? And the third area is how do we build strong, resilient, democratic societies? Part of that is countering disinformation and ensuring we all have access to free, independent information, the great work that you do each and every day. Likewise, is deepening and building our people-to-people ties. Again, my trips across the country, student exchanges, the upcoming song and dance festival that begins today, there's a long U.S.-Latvia history in cooperation in the song and dance festival. The Lampa Festival in Cēsis a few weeks ago that I was able to participate in, what a great Latvian experience of gathering for 2 days to talk about every issue impacting society. These are ways that we can build through universities and other exchanges more people-to-people ties so that we have a better understanding and can approach those challenges of the next 100 years together. So that will be our focus, and how do we continue to build in all three areas? And again, Latvia is such an incredible partner and friend. We share so much in common in each of these three areas that I'm very confident that these next 100 years will be more secure and more prosperous for both of us.
Ну, про безопасность хочу чуть-чуть поподробнее. Латвия очень, ну, так плотно сотрудничает с США именно в сфере безопасности. И вот мы уже видели, как Латвия получила вертолеты Black Hawk. Но также Латвия намерена купить системы HIMARS. Они нашумели в последний год, стали очень известны. Латвия уже сделала эту заявку на покупку. Когда они могут к нам поступить, и можно ли ускорить поставки? Вот есть ли у вас какая-то информация об этом?
I will also mention, in addition to HIMARS, the Latvian government has announced its intent to purchase coastal defense systems as well. And so we are cooperating in a range of areas. As you mentioned, HIMARS, the Blackhawks are a very good example. My very first week here, I went down to the Lielvārde Air Base and met with the young Latvian pilots that have trained for the past year to fly those. Men and women pilots who've really devoted themselves to this cutting edge effort of flying these new Black Hawk systems. And I really think that speaks to the ability for Latvia and for the Latvian armed services to build up their capabilities and to provide and lead in security going forward. We are working to partner with on all these range of ideas. So there isn't anything new to announce on the timeline, but we are working very, very closely together and we will continue to partnership in both acquiring systems, in training, and in exercises. That's why I'm very thankful for the partnership and the U.S. military presence that's here, as well as the NATO presence, as we continue to train together with Latvia, build up our, as we would say, interoperability, the ability of our forces all to work together, so that we are able to meet our commitment to defend every inch of NATO territory.
Уже меньше, чем через две недели в Вильнюсе пройдет саммит НАТО, начнется. Это такое очень важное для всех событие. Как вы считаете, какие решения, которые могут касаться Латвии, могут быть приняты на этом саммите? Что на повестке дня?
Yeah. So, you know, Latvia is a great leader in NATO. And they've just consistently demonstrated great leadership and partnership in the alliance. We are looking forward to the NATO summit. I think above all, the Vilnius summit will be a great demonstration of NATO unity. And I think that's one of the most important messages. When Putin launched his reinvasion of Ukraine, he thought he could divide Europe. He thought he could divide the transatlantic community. He has failed. NATO is more united than ever, and NATO has grown and is becoming more capable and stronger than he ever anticipated. And I think what you will see in Vilnius is a reaffirmation of the values and the principles that are in NATO, but also a demonstration of that unity. Second, I think, and as you've seen U.S. officials point to, you will see a continued demonstration of our commitment to Ukraine, particularly in terms of practical material assistance as Ukraine moves forward in developing and training and equipping its armed forces, not just to defend itself and expel Russia today, but to go forward to provide security for Ukraine for the long term. And I think third, you will see a continued emphasis on NATO's role as a defensive alliance for deterrence and defense, and to continue to be strong in the deterrence and defense area. So I don't have a lot of specifics yet. We're still working to prepare for the meeting, and I don't want to get ahead of that. But again, I think the key will be that the alliance is stronger and more united than ever, and that we are committed, each of the NATO members, we are committed to Ukraine and will be deepening our commitment in practical terms. And I think that will be a clear message to Moscow.
Как вы оцениваете шансы Украины стать членом НАТО? Страны Балтии Украину поддерживают. Какова позиция США и может ли Украина получить статус кандидата на вступление в НАТО в Вильнюсе?
So I can be very clear that the NATO's open door policy remains our policy. The door is open, and we have reaffirmed our commitment to Bucharest. And we will continue to work to train and equip and support Ukraine bilaterally, as well as all the other members of NATO are committed to their individual support for Ukraine, and we are working to increase that. So again, I don't want to get ahead of where the summit may come out, but I think the message for Moscow is clear, is that the West broadly, I would expand that even beyond NATO, the G7, if you go back to the G7 summit just a few months ago, has been clear and resolute in our support for Ukraine, that we will support Ukraine for as long as it takes. And I think we will continue to reinforce that message.
Ну вот вы сказали, что будете поддерживать Украину так долго, как это необходимо, и президент США Джо Байден тоже говорил именно эту фразу, но в следующем году выборы президента в США, если президент сменится, если ну, не будет Джо Байден, будет кто-то другой, где гарантии того, что именно вот политика США в отношении Украины не изменится, не претерпит каких-то там ну, движений в сторону, скажем так.
So just 2 weeks ago, I was back in Washington, and before coming out here, I had broad consultations in Congress, and while I was back in Washington, I had the opportunity to hear from a number of senators and other members of and staff from Congress. We can be clear, there is very strong bipartisan support, first for NATO, to live up to and fully adhere to all of our NATO commitments and obligations, including, above all, Article 5. And again, President Biden's strong and clear commitment that we will defend every inch of NATO territory. Second, I think there, and it is clear to me, there is very strong bipartisan support for Latvia and our bilateral partnership with Latvia, and as well as for your Baltic neighbors. That is a consistent and clear message, again, building on the strong historic relationship between our two countries. But third, it remains very clear that there is a strong, deep, broad, bipartisan consensus on support for Ukraine. We see the Russia's war against Ukraine for what it is. It's the war of a bully against a neighbor that has chosen to go. It's a democratic, independent path, and that this is a war about sovereignty and territorial integrity. And that is something that the American people very clearly understand, as much as the Latvian people understand, as you see Latvian flags across this country and the continual support, not just from the government, but the Latvian people to donate to the needs in Ukraine just after the destruction of the dam, the surge of assistance that flew that came out from average Ukrainian citizens, of Latvian citizens giving to needs in Ukraine. And I think you can feel that same strong support across the political spectrum in the United States. And I am very confident that that bipartisan support will continue regardless of how the elections unfold. I do think having a strong debate about foreign policy is a strong component of having a vibrant democratic system. And so you will see foreign policy debated, but I think that makes the American system stronger and leads to continued broad public support for our policies. So I look forward to that continuing.
Я хотел еще спросить про военных из США, которые по ротации находятся в Латвии. За последние годы их число увеличилось. А какие вообще планы у США по поводу этого контингента? Будет он расти, останется таким же или наоборот уменьшится? Я как пример приведу. Германия не так давно сообщила, что они в Литву, по-моему, там 4000 немецких военнослужащих собираются отсылать. Какие планы у США?
So, I think if we go all the way back to 2014, which seems ridiculously long ago, but really isn't, from Putin's first invasion of Crimea to where we are today, you've seen both the United States and NATO collectively respond to increase our deterrence and defense posture, including on the ground in Latvia. And that's from air policing to naval patrols to increased exercises, as well as U.S. and NATO presence on the ground here in Latvia. We are committed, and we've said this several times, and we will continue to reiterate, we are committed to a continual rotational presence. We say heel to toe. So when one part of the foot touches, and as it moves forward, the next part of the foot touches. In other words, we will maintain our presence here. So as one unit rotates out, another will rotate in to continue developing and deepening our partnership, our training. We benefit, Latvia benefits. We learn so much from each other. We learn skills. We learn in exercises together. There's so much that both sides benefit from in that partnership, and we will continue it. So we don't have anything new to announce, but we are committed to maintaining and continuing that presence. Again, I will go back to every inch, every centimeter, every millimeter, and that partnership will continue because we want to make sure that message is clear to Moscow. We hold true to our Article 5 commitments.
Вы до назначения в Латвию работали в ранге заместителя помощника госсекретаря Бюро по делам Европы и Евразии. Также какое-то время работали в посольстве США в Москве. Ну и, очевидно, вы имеете знания и опыт того, что происходит вот в нашем регионе, в этой части мира. Я вас хочу немножечко, чтобы вы поделились своими знаниями, своим мнением по поводу прошлых отношений США и именно России. Есть эксперты, которые говорят, что конец политики перезагрузки случился в тот момент, когда Владимир Путин решил пойти на третий срок, то есть в 2012 году. Скажите, по вашему мнению, по вашему анализу, в какой момент вот все пошло не так, не туда?
Well, I think, Latvian authorities have long warned that Putin posed a real threat and challenge to the transatlantic community. We have been clear all along our opposition to Russian aggression, both at home and abroad. He has been repressing his people. We've seen the steady increase of political prisoners and repression against his own people in Latvia. Russian aggression abroad, Georgia, Ukraine, the role of Russian mercenaries in Africa and around the world, Russia in Syria, to destabilize, to weaponize refugees and migration, to advance its political objectives, and to sow chaos. I think you've seen going, and even connecting to your earlier question, I think you've seen over three, even four administrations, some real consistency of opposition in standing up to Russian aggression, to upholding the transatlantic alliance, to standing up for our values and our commitments to human rights and to accountability, to defend our allies and partners against territorial aggression and other forms of Russian interference, election interference, cyber attacks. We've used a range of tools from sanctions to other assistance to help counter that. And I think that will continue. We still talk to Russia. I've been engaged in arms control talks with Russia. Russia is a nuclear power. And those channels have been useful when Russia has engaged in irresponsible nuclear rhetoric. We've been able to say directly to them our concerns about their words and to make sure that there's clear communications from both sides. And so I think you've seen some consistency that we are prepared to stand up against Russian aggression where we see it.
Ну, не знаю, согласитесь со мной или нет, но нет ли такого, что в отличие от стран Балтии, которые имеют свой исторический опыт, тот, который они имеют, некоторые страны Запада, в том числе и США, какое-то время, носили розовые очки и сквозь призму этих розовых очков смотрели на Владимира Путина и на Россию?
Moscow was my very first assignment in 1995. At times it feels like that was a different universe. Where you could see an openness in some elements of Russian society. I think there has always been, among the West more broadly, hope that you could draw Russia into international institutions, that you could anchor it in some common values that it might be able to restrain. But what I think you've seen the world clearly respond to, and a full change of many, many countries in their approach, is to see what Russia has done in Ukraine, a war of aggression, how Russia has used cyber or disinformation or electoral interference to interfere in the internal affairs of other countries, to use energy as a weapon or migration as a weapon, and to stand up together against that aggression. And I think there is a real global consensus. We've seen that in votes in the United Nations, for example, to stand up to this. And so I think you've seen a real generational change in approach to stand up to Russian aggression. And I am confident that that will continue.
Уходящий президент Латвии Эгилс Левитс в своем недавнем выступлении заявил, что теперь железный занавес опустился недалеко от Зилупы, по восточной границе Латвии. Железный занавес – это один из терминов холодной войны, которая длилась почти 50 лет, и закончилась поражением Советского Союза. Как долго может длиться вторая холодная война?
Having studied, been in university in the Cold War, I don't know if that's the right term of reference for this. This is as much also a struggle about values. I think this could take a generation. It is more than just one person. But we must, as President Levitz has led on, we must hold Russia to account for its atrocities. We must have a just and lasting peace in Ukraine that restores and respects territorial integrity and sovereignty. And these are important principles. So I think it's too early to answer that question. But that is why we must stay focused on supporting Ukraine for as long as it takes. As President Biden said, Ukraine is up, victory in Ukraine is up for the Ukrainians to decide, but they have been very clear that that means Russia out of Ukraine, that we must hold Russia accountable, and that we must be clear that we will continue to stand up to Russian aggression. And so we must remain focused on these priorities for as long as it takes. I think it's early to be able to answer that question, unfortunately.
А как вы оцениваете случившийся неделю назад военный мятеж Евгения Пригожина, хозяина ЧВК «Вагнер»? И считаете ли вы Владимира Путина, режим Владимира Путина стабильным?
So we are watching this situation very closely. We have communicated very clearly to the Russians, as we've said publicly, that there was no U.S. role in these activities, that this is an internal affair for Russia. But we are watching this very closely with our allies and partners. I think it's too early to tell what will be the impact. But it is one we will continue to coordinate very closely, particularly with a close ally and partner and friend like Latvia that shares a border with both Russia and Belarus and what this might mean. We have a long history of cooperation with Latvia. We support Latvia's border security efforts. We recently made another donation to support Latvia's borders with $1.3 million worth of equipment and assistance. And so we will continue to partner and monitor this situation closely, particularly with Latvia, and to see how this unfolds.
Так считаете вы режим Владимира Путина стабильным?
We've seen lots of commentators suspect it is an authoritarian regime. You see Russian authorities speak of the power vertical. But that's really an issue that the Russian people will have to decide. And we have long stood with the Russian people who desire a democratic and prosperous future for themselves and for their own voice to be heard, which unfortunately is increasingly repressed at home.
В начале 2022 года президент США, используя данные американской разведки, предупреждал о том, что Россия готовится напасть на Украину. Шли переговоры в Женеве между Россией и США. Были четкие сигналы, что России не стоит этого делать со стороны США. Как вы думаете, почему Владимир Путин, какая причина, почему он не принял эти сигналы и все-таки сделал то, что сделал?
Look, I think you've seen from Putin's own rhetoric, his own articles, and those of other senior officials, that this was a war of aggression, that they are waging a war against a people and its identity and its culture, as much against territory. that he has denied Ukraine's existence as a separate people with its own history and its own borders. We made very clear our opposition to this as we worked to build and strengthen our understanding among our allies about what Russia was intending to do. I think it's... I won't attempt to be inside President Putin's head. I don't share his outlook on the world. But we've made very clear that we don't support him. And I think the world has spoken that it stands against what he is doing. And the Ukrainian people have stood up to stand against that and rallied to support their country from all walks of life and all points of view to support their sovereignty and territorial integrity and independence. And so we will continue to stand with them and make sure that Moscow understands that. I think going back even from as we saw the buildup for this, and this continues true to this day, Putin could end this war today. But we've seen no sign from Moscow of any real interest in solving and ending this conflict, in bringing it to a conclusion. And that remains true to today.
А какі условия должен, ну, скажем так, выполнить Владимир Путин, по мнению США, чтобы, ну, чтобы США и весь западный мир, и там цивилизованный мир начал с ним диалог, ну, как-то, какой-то разговор, что, ну, вот... Работаем дальше. Что он должен сделать?
Do you mean in the context of Ukraine?
Да, да, да.
Okay. Look, I think, first of all, that's really for the Ukrainian people to decide. And President Zelensky has been very clear on that. And so, first and foremost, that is for Ukraine to decide. But we stand with with Ukraine, as does Latvia, in upholding and supporting Ukraine's efforts to defend its sovereignty and its territorial integrity in its internationally recognized borders. President Biden has said, as the Ukrainians have also said, that means Russia out of Ukraine. What the conditions are, that's really for the Ukrainians to decide. But again, we've seen no signal of interest on the Russian side. We welcome peace efforts, but it is really up to Putin to end the war. And we reiterate our call, end the war now. It's very simple. He has the power to do that, and he should end the war now.
Ну, у меня последний вопрос на эту тему, на российскую тему, российско-украинскую. Если в 2024 году планируются также выборы и президента, и в России, если Владимир Путин отправится в 2024 году на какой-то уже на пятый, получается, срок, да, на пятый президентский срок, если ну, выиграет его каким-то образом, будут ли США признавать его избрание на этот срок легитимным, вот его как легитимным?
I can't really answer a hypothetical question. I think you've seen international observers in the past elections make very clear that the elections were not up to international standards, and Russia's own commitments domestically, internationally. I suspect that trend would continue, but I really can't answer a hypothetical on what may or may not happen.
Хорошо, посмотрим. Может быть, и не будет выдвигаться по какой-либо из причин. Ну и последний, наверное, вопрос, но который касается уже и Латвии. Вы еще во время слушаний в Конгрессе, когда проходили, скажем так, такое рабочее интервью в осенью прошлого года, вы заявили, что ваш приоритет – это поддержка, приоритет работы в Латвии. Вы сказали, что ваш приоритет – это поддержка российских СМИ, обретших приют в Латвии, а также вы будете стараться достучаться до русскоязычных жителей Латвии. Почему вот вы и то считаете важным и нужным? Почему вы это считаете своим приоритетом?
Well, first, you raise a great topic. And again, I thank you for the work that you do too, and that RusLSM does, to ensure that the Russian-speaking population of Latvia has access to reliable, credible, truthful information. We think that's fundamental for strong democratic societies. So thank you for the work that you and your colleagues do each and every day. Second, I really commend Latvia for welcoming in so many Russian journalists who had to flee persecution in their home country, from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty journalists, to Medusa, to independent journalists. Latvia has stood up for these shared common values and the importance that the freedom of press, freedom of speech is, as the basis on which we build all of our democratic societies. So I really commend Latvia for continuing to welcome and providing a safe haven, if you will, a place to establish themselves. And I think the war shows that it's continued important. First, that Russia continues to wage a war of disinformation against the NATO alliance, against each one of our countries. Latvian officials have spoken about that within Latvia. We've experienced it in the United States as well. And so we continue to need to work to disrupt and counter disinformation. And the strongest answer to that is a strong and independent and open free media. Again, thank you for the work that you do. Second, as ambassador, I want to be able to reach and connect with all audiences in Latvia so that I can understand the issues facing Latvia, so that I can communicate clearly U.S. policies and approaches and have a better understanding so we can build that partnership for the future. And so I look forward to continuing to do that.
Ну и последний вопрос,
последний.
Если можно. Да. Когда, в конце концов, появится прямой рейс из Риги в США, какой-то из крупных аэропортов, и что для этого нужно сделать?
It's an important issue. We are looking for all sorts of ways to deepen the partnership. I've had the opportunity to fly on Air Baltic and to go through the airport many times as well. And again, Latvia has so many competitive advantages, from ports to airports to communications infrastructure to technology. Again, to go back to how I opened, it's why I'm so excited to be here. There are so many opportunities as Latvia thinks through how to make itself competitive for the future in light of what we've seen happen in Russia. Latvia has so many advantages, so much strength, so much capabilities that it's. I look forward to partnering and finding new ways we can build on that partnership. So thank you.
Спасибо вам. Хочу я сказать, что нашли время и ответили на мои вопросы. У нас с нашим гостем был Кристофер Робинсон, посол США в Латвии. Спасибо еще раз. Ну, а этим хочу сообщить, что программа ТЧК уходит в отпуск. Я уже не буду говорить вам эту свою фразу «встретимся завтра». Встретимся мы в августе. Желаю вам хорошего лета. Теплого, ищите впечатления, и пусть оно для всех нас будет радостным и безопасным, и давайте искать побольше друзей. Всего доброго, пока.